This week's guest found herself with a quiet start to 2024 after her biggest lead generator, a local event, was cancelled right before she was taking time off for an overseas trip last year. I'm talking about returning guest to the show, Ina Jalil, who instead of allowing herself to mellow in the stress, invested in more coaching and then took action. Fast forward 6 months, and she's had a five-figure sale, her highest to date, and is almost fully booked until Australian winter. Tune in to today's episode to learn how she turned business around, and before that, the perhaps surprising impact of her rebrand, which has helped her business mindset.
Welcome to the Pet Photographers Club. Tune in as experts share their insights to help grow your business with higher sales, creative marketing, and kick-arse business strategies. Now on to the show.
Hello and welcome back to season 16, episode 3 of the Pet Photographers Club. I am your host, Kirsty McConnell. And today back on the show is Ina Jalil of Ina J Photography in Canberra, Australia. Welcome back to the club, Ina.
Thank you, Kirsty. Thanks for having me again.
We were just having a chat before we started recording, guys. I said to Ina, like, gee, when was the last time you were on the podcast? And I had to check it up. And Ina's saying, I haven't been on the podcast.
And it was too long ago.
And then we remembered it was a member spotlight from back in the days that we used to do those member spotlights. So if you want to have a listen, you can jump back to season 8, episode 6, where there is a member spotlight with Ina. I reckon that would have been a video episode back then, if I remember.
But yeah, okay. That was.
So if you've been a member since then, you might have seen it already, or jump into the Facebook group because most of the video episodes are still hosted in the members only Facebook group and then not in the podcast player. So if you can't find it in the podcast player, have a look in there. Anyway, Ina, nice to have you back on the show. We've chatted quite a lot over the years. So yes, it's always like so nice having kind of a friend on the show.
But yeah, exactly.
For the listener who doesn't know you, Ina, can you just give a little bit of a background into who you are, where you're based, even though I said it briefly, and what it is that you do in the realm of pet photography?
Sure. So I'm based in Canberra, Australia, and my business name is Ina J Photography. So I've been doing photography mainly as a hobby and side hustle from quite a long time, back in probably 2007, when I was still, working, I guess, corporate job after graduating uni. I started my business, actually set up Ina J Photography back in 2009, 2010. And it was basically, as I said, a side hustle. I did everything from family, newborn, weddings, events, you name it, I just did it. But it was a side hustle. So I wasn't making money and I was a shoot and burn photographer. And it was just, a few jobs here and there just as a extra side money on top of my full-time job in the public service. And then in 2019 my dog Mac, he passed away from heart failure, and I couldn't find an outdoor pet photographer at the time. I got a photo done with a family photographer, but I just, looking at the photos, it didn't bring that personality. It doesn't show his personality and that connection between him and me. So yeah, I thought, well, why not start? I didn't realize pet photography was a thing, but with that research, then I thought, oh, it is a thing. So I thought, let's just start to get into it, and did some model calls and did quite a few different shoots. And then in 2020 I did the business coaching program with Alex Kearns from Houndstooth Photography, and basically my business just shoot up from there. And I left my full-time job in the public service in February 2022 and have been full-time since then. Yeah, it's just grown significantly. It's been building my brand name. It's interesting. I go around town, some people are like, oh, you're Ina. I was like, oh, do I know you? And like, oh yeah, I follow you on Instagram. So it's great that people are starting to see my brand name and my business and, yeah, be the, I guess, known for the outdoor pet photographer in Canberra. But around probably about a year and a bit ago, I've also started doing studio photography just to add on. But my main focus is still outdoor pet photography, focusing on dogs and just capturing that, you know, their personality and also the bond and connection between them and their owners.
And Ina, I think you can really see that the reason you started this business in the first place was really instigated because of, you know, your own story with losing your dog. And I feel like we can see that now that everybody's heard that story, or I've been reminded of the story. If we look at your work, we can kind of see that that's always your goal, you know.
Yeah.
Some pet photographers do like beautiful, you know, very art style photography, and that's amazing. And that's clearly their goal, to be artists. And then others do like technically perfect, you know, like everything is about like, yeah, the technicalities and in studio or even out in location, still it's all about technical. And yes, you have elements of both of those, but definitely when you look at your work, it's really personality driven. And I think as the consumer, a lot of people are looking for that when they're looking for pet photography, and the way you've been able to bring all three together, but really highlighting that personality is, I think, really, really impressive. And also quite inspiring to see, if I can use that word, like that you've retained that drive, you know, that's your goal. Because it's easy once we turn into a business to then, you know, divert a little bit. So is there something that helps you with that helps you stay focused, that's the goal? Or is it just like habit for you now that you just shoot in this style?
You know, I've worked a lot on like, you know, my business, and I did a full brand refresh last year with J. Nicole Smith. And I, you know, it was a lot of, you know, with the branding, it wasn't just about changing the logo, but it was all about going into my why. And as part of that rebranding with her, I went deep down to my why, and it, you know, that's always in the back of my mind. But having you know, that brand refresh with Nicole and going through and, you know, digging into my why am I doing this, I've sort of now put that at the forefront of my mind all the time. Every time I'm interacting with customers, potential customers, working with my clients, it's all going back to my why I do this. And that's how I connect with people. And, you know, that's how my clients come to me, because, you know, they connect with my why. They've got their dog who, you know, is their everything, which is, you know, what Mac was to me, and my other dogs, my current dogs right now too. They're my life. They're my children. They're my babies. And, you know, it's all about going back to my why and how it connects with them, how, you know, life with them is short, and it's all about being out there playing with them outside, but also capturing those moments and personalities and connection.
Do you think, Ina, since doing that brand refresh, how you said that, you know, a big part of it was knowing your why.
Yeah.
Do you think having that front of mind now again, or reminded to you, is helping you to stay motivated in business as well? Because we all know business isn't particularly easy. And when you're doing the same kind of shoots day in, day out, or week in, week out, however often we're all shooting, it can get a little bit monotonous and become a job, because it is a job. Yeah. Did that help you at all? Did you ever struggle with that?
Yeah, it definitely did help me, especially going full time into this. You know, I think I did a brand refresh after about a year being full time. So, you know, whereas before I had another job, so this was just in addition to it. But having reminded about that why and why I'm doing this really helps me get motivated, and, you know, making sure that I'm always, I guess, being the forefront of my marketing. And yes, I need to, you know, get clients. And however, getting clients doesn't just mean, you know, making money, but also connecting, finding the right clients, communicating that why, communicating it everywhere from, you know, social media to when I'm presenting to people, you know, when I'm connecting to people. It's just, I think it's just a really important thing that you need to know your why you're doing things, because it does help you refine your business as well and your goals. So it's also helped me with my goals and what I want in my business, and it helps with my mindset as well, because then I know when people come to me and they're like, oh, you know, you're too expensive, or, you know, that's not what I'm after. That's okay, because I want to connect with people who align to my values and my why and connects with my business. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Ina, do you remember if there was like a couple of specific questions that Jane Nicol-Smith was asking you to find, you know, to dig deep into finding your why, or was it very much kind of passed over to you and that was research that you had to do and you know, thought process you had to work through?
There was a questionnaire that I had to fill in. There was quite a lot of, I guess, in-depth questions. And I also did a course on her, like, why finding. So I think having, like, her there to also guide and chat to me about after submitting a questionnaire and digging deeper into that helped. I can't remember specific questions, but I think there's a lot of information out there about, you know, finding your, I guess, your values and your why, but it definitely helped me. I think having that guidance as well helped, because sometimes you kind of go, oh, I think this is why I'm doing it, but then you're not digging deeper and you're going to say, okay, why is that? And then asking that, well, why again, and just kind of digging deeper to the really, really deep meaning of why you're doing that.
I imagine that would be such a powerful exercise, and it sounds like it has been for you for sure, Ina. Last year, I think it was, or the year before, I can't even remember now, I think it was last year, I worked with a copywriter to do my website, and she didn't ask that many questions around my why, but we really focused on my avatar a lot. And you know, because the copywriting had to be written for them. And that was really eye-opening to me, you know, like lots of questions that I've asked myself previously. And also when I've worked with, you know, other photographers trying to help them with their businesses, I've asked them about, you know, the type of clients that they want to work with and they like working with and everything like that. But sometimes it's, you know, the reason that I used to ask those questions was for one particular end goal, you know, but working with this copywriter, I understood actually that knowing those questions helps in so many aspects of the business, not just, you know, whatever the goal was of you know, that one question at the time. Yeah. And I found that really fascinating. Now I want to go and like do some digging into my why as well. I think that would be interesting.
It's really interesting. It does get quite emotional, I think, once you kind of know. And actually having her, when she revealed the brand to me, once she's done it, I was in tears because it just like hit me right there in the heart. So,
wow, yeah. Amazing. Cool. Yeah. That must have been so nice for her, because I mean, we get that same feeling when we show our clients work and they cry, you know, they cry at the photos.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's quite an ego boost. And I imagine for her that would be, I mean, that's cool. Speaking of your branding, Ina, this is, guys, earlier on I was telling Ina that I record the intro to these episodes afterwards, because I used to record them live and then we'd start chatting and go a totally different direction to what we're supposed to talk about, and I had to go and re-record the intro. And now we're 13 minutes in and we haven't yet got to the question of why I got Ina on the show, and I'm still not going to get to it yet, and now this is why we don't do the intro live. Anyway, I will get to that in just a minute, but before we do, I want to ask you, since we're on this topic of rebranding, about your business name. So I understand that when you first started shooting, it was a side hustle, you were shooting everything, so it made sense that you just went with your own name. I'm guessing you went with Ina J because Jelly Lily is a bit like exotic for Australia.
Yeah, exactly. It's too hard to get people to spell it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. And so that makes sense that when you were early on that you just went with Ina J Photography. I was, in fact, Kirsty M Photography, because McConnell is way too long and, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I went with Kirsty M when I very first started. But then when I rebranded, I changed my name to Bits of Bernard because I knew that I was specializing in pets. By the way, that was a bad choice of name because nobody can pronounce it. But anyway, it was very dog focused. My logo was dog focused and everything like that. That was a choice that I made because at the time I was planning on growing and not being the only face of the business. I'm interested to know about your story with your business name, Ina, because you decided to keep it even though you did a brand refresh. Tell us your thought process on that.
Yeah, this was a very challenging thought. I struggled with this. I was like, well, I thought about it. I was like, well, I built good SEO with Energy Photography. I think that was one of the main things. So I was hesitant to change the name. But also people have been recognizing me for Ina J. So I thought, and also I am, you know, even though I do want to eventually grow the business, I still want to be, you know, the main person that people interact with. And that's how I guess people connect with me and they love the photos because of the interaction with me. When I read the reviews that people leave for me and like, oh, Ina was just really great connecting with my dogs, or Ina was really attentive. It was all about, you know, I guess me working with me. And so I thought, well, I want to keep it that personal brand, that connection. And that's why I decided, I guess, to keep it as Ina J. And then also then that helped with the SEO because that means I don't have to redo and change everything and restart my SEO from scratch, because I've gotten my SEO as well to, you know, being number one for Canberra pet photographer, Canberra dog photographer, all those main keywords that's for the local searches.
Okay, perfect. So then if you were starting your business today from zero, but you had all the knowledge that you have now, you didn't have a website that was ranking highly, et cetera, would you still go with Ina J, knowing that eventually people would know, you know, would be writing reviews with your name and they would know your face and everything like that? Or would you brand as a less, I don't know what you call that, like a more general name?
Ooh, yeah, yeah. That's a very interesting question. I don't know, actually. I've thought about this and it's like, well, I thought about like different names and then just I could never find a name that I like as well. And I think I probably, if I meant to start this business from scratch again, if I was to start this business from scratch and I'm planning to grow it and have, you know, I guess other photographers, I would probably would name it something a bit more like generic. That's not my name. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I just like that, you know, it's all quite personal and it's all very connecting and building relationship and having that connection with me personally and my name as the forefront of the brand. That's been really helpful in my business currently.
Mm-hmm. I think what we've understood is there's no right or wrong way. You can go either. And in fact, if we look at big brands, then they do either as well. I mean, you have Jimmy Choo or Ferrari or Lamborghini, I guess that was his name. I'm not sure. Anyway, let's stick with Ferrari because I know that one.
Yeah.
And you know, their names, and nobody looks like, oh, that's a small boutique business because they went with their personal name. And then of course you have other, you know, other big businesses that also go with something completely different, like Apple or whatever. And so I don't think that there is a right or wrong way or that you limit yourself by choosing your name. I think it's just maybe it's the right thing to do is just look what's the goal of my future business and how do I like to interact with my clients, which is what you just said. You know, you wanted to be really personal and so that makes sense. I want to grow my business and so it made like that I'm not the face and so it makes sense for me not to go with my personal name. I also had the problem that I'm not a cutesy person, if I can say that. Like, you know, some people are lovey and warm and they can get away with calling their business name something like Furry Feet or something like this and it works for them. But that would never work for me because that's like a complete disconnect. Somebody would meet me and be like, that doesn't align with you. You're not a cuddly kind of person. And so, you know, I have to keep that in mind as well. And I think that's the same for a lot of people. So yeah, I'm interested that you decided to keep Ina J. And honestly, it makes complete sense, especially with your SEO already strong. Ina, we're at the end of the first half of this episode already, but we haven't even got into what we wanted to talk about. And I want to just really briefly. So before I let everybody go, the reason I got you on the show, before I wrap up the first half of this episode, I'm trying to say, the reason that I got you on the show today was because you sent me a message a few weeks ago, I guess it was now.
Yeah.
And you said to me that you just had your first five-figure sale. And we had a little bit of a chat. I was very excited for you. And then you said that you were quite excited about it because the first couple of months of the year had been pretty quiet. And as you've been saying, this is your full-time job. And I thought, gee, that's really interesting. And I think really inspiring that, you know, despite feeling that this has been a really hard year, and a lot of people have felt that way, that this has been a really hard 6 month period, really, you still had your biggest sale ever. So even though there might be like fewer clients, or you were finding fewer clients, you were finding really good clients as well. And so that's why I got you on the show today to chat about that, not about branding, but that was interesting as well. And so I just, before we, you know, wrap up this first part, I just love your kind of insights into that, you know, why, you know, to learn, first of all, why you had a quiet kind of four months, because I think you've analyzed it and you understood why, and what you're doing about it moving forward. So give us a bit of a picture as to what was going on in your business.
Yeah. So I always try to have at the start of the year, a 12-month marketing plan, and I use your Airtable 12-month marketing calendar template from your Business Foundation course. So that kind of gives me an idea of what I'm planning to do for the next 12 months. And then I go in, obviously, you know, every month or every couple of months to look at what I've got ahead, whether, you know, it's happening or not, and also looking back at whether I did those marketing campaigns or not, and making sure that I've got enough layers in my marketing plan, you know, whether passive and active and a few other sources to generate leads. Now, one of the main lead generator that I usually rely on at the sort of middle of the year around July is this event. It's kind of like a dog expo. It's probably the biggest one in Canberra. And you know, the year before I got quite a lot of leads, you know, like $40,000 worth of sales as well, 3 months worth of leads of that. So I was relying on that. And especially since I was going away in end of September to about mid-October to Iceland, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I'll have that and then they'll help me generate the booking for basically September and then October, at the end of October when I come back in November and potentially December. However, last minute it got cancelled. And then I had other marketing plans, but it didn't work as well for some reason. I think also because of the time of economic, you know, conditions, I didn't get as much leads as I wanted to. And so after I got back from Iceland, I had some bookings, but not as much as I had hoped.
So you really got hit with like a double whammy then, Ina, because one, like you had a plan and then out of your control, it fell through. Your backup plans didn't, for marketing, they didn't quite work how you'd planned. And then you couldn't just keep smashing other ideas because you were going away. And so it makes sense that like all those three things at once just kind of come ahead, and then you had a quiet period. So
what
did you do when you got back and you realized, shit, I really need some bookings in the calendar?
Well, I just went and I thought, well, you know, one of the things that is, I probably, you know, I'm a bit of a, what do you call it, course. I invest a lot in education. So I do a lot of coaching, and some people say maybe I spend too much on it. But I think it does help because I started doing Elevate program with Heather, and obviously Heather always says, well, you know, you had, what, 100 bookings last year, so you know how to make bookings. And I was like, I know, but it's very quiet. But it's like, it's your mindset. So all I did, you know, what she says, go out there, tell them you're a photographer, meet people, tell them you're a photographer, and make them an offer. And so pretty much I just went out there. I approached other local businesses. I approached a doggy daycare. I did some photos for them, offered them and give them some gift certificates for their clients. I approached a few other, you know, places as well. So it wasn't just one local business. Got out there. I went to dog parks. I put a sign up on one of the dog parks. Basically, just anything I can think of, I just went out there and did it. And you know what? If it doesn't work, at least it's out there. And, you know, yeah, I might not get many, many leads from it, but if I get one lead from there, one lead from another business, a couple of leads from the business, they'll keep me going, you know. until I can start generating more leads when I do bigger campaigns.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
And I think it's just about taking action, because I think sometimes you feel like when you're doing something and your marketing campaign doesn't work or it just flops and there's nothing, you feel a bit like, oh, this is annoying. And then you get frustrated and you just don't take any action. Because you get that, your thought, it changes your mindset and you just feel blah. And then that means that you just don't want to do anything and procrastinate. Mm-hmm.
And that just keeps going in a bad circle, doesn't it? Because then, of course, you're not doing something. So then no leads come in, you feel worse. And then it just keeps going worse and worse.
Exactly. So I just had to basically just keep going, regardless. And also I had another thought going, oh, but, people are going to see that you're doing all these campaigns and this promotion. But I got to remind myself, not everyone sees everything. Social media doesn't show everyone everything. And again, if they do, Heather would say, so what? I have Heather in my head now all the time. So
yeah. She's probably gonna
so what? Yeah.
The other really interesting thing I think about that is why do we look at that like it's a negative thing?
Yeah.
Because, Coca-Cola is also everywhere. And none of us look around and think like, oh, Coca-Cola must be desperate because they're advertising everywhere.
Exactly.
Nobody thinks that. We just think like, what a powerhouse, that or nothing. People usually just think nothing. But if we look with marketing eyes, we would think, what a powerhouse. They can afford to be everywhere. They're sponsoring probably the Super Bowl. I don't know. I'm making it up. But like, they sponsor big events. They've got billboards still today, 100 years later, or however old they are. They're in every supermarket, everywhere you go, and everybody knows the brand, and we don't look at it like a desperate thing. But for some reason, because we're a small business, we have it in our head, because we're so personally attached to our business, we have it in our head that this would look desperate or negative. But if we can just flip that upside down, like you have, and hit Heather, like, so what?
Yeah. And it's just like, literally, so what? Just get out of there. And if people do say stuff, like, that's okay. That's their thoughts. That's their opinions. I'm just going to keep going. And, I still have clients. Yes, a lot of my actual leads come from, the Lost Leader campaign, where I basically waive the session fee and they come in for a free session and I give them either a print credit or a print. But I'm still generating an average sale of about 2,000, 2,000 something. So...
good on you, Ina. I think you just keep pushing, and I think that's what we have to do. I'm a hiker, or I used to be much more of a hiker, and went on this crazy long hike. Some of you might remember, if you've been long-time listeners, that I went hiking for 55 days solid, and our motto every time was just keep putting one foot in front of the other, because we met this man when we were on day six, who was 80-something years old, and he was doing the same trail as us, but in stages. And I asked him, how do you keep going? He's hiked all over the world and everything. How do you keep going? And he told us, you just have to put one foot in front of the other. And, I've heard that before. Everybody's heard that before. But when you hear it from this 80-something-year-old man that was in the middle of the desert hiking for no reason other than the fact that he enjoyed it, and, we're all dying because, we're carrying crazy heavy packs and everything. And I don't know, it's just something that stays with you. And I feel like that can be applied to every aspect of life. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing, Ina, with your business.
Yeah,
just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep moving forward.
Just keep moving forward. Yeah. Yeah.
And results pay from that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I don't see failure as failure. It's just something that didn't work and you try again or tweak something and see where it failed and what didn't work and try again and just keep moving forward.
I love that, Ina. I think that's a great point to wrap up part one of this episode. I do have much more that I want to discuss with you. Of course, that 10K sale and where the lead came from out of all those things that you were doing. I'm going to keep that for the second half of this episode. So before we wrap up part one, where can the listener go to find you?
So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, basically those are my two, and my website as Ina J Photography. My website is just inajphotography.com. Yeah, feel free to reach out to me if you've got any questions. I do some mentoring sessions every now and then I do some workshops for Sony Australia on their Sony Scene website as well, so you can find me on there too.
Perfect. And don't worry, guys, if you miss anything, as always, I have taken all the notes for you. So just head on over to thepetphotographersclub.com/the-podcast and search Ina. But that is it for part one of this episode. If you are a member of the club, of course, you can continue listening to part two in the member zone, or better yet, via your private RSS feed in your favorite podcast player. Don't forget, if you're not a member yet, you can join today. It is just $10 a month. The price has never changed, by the way, since we started in 2018. And I think that's pretty cool. And I'm planning on keeping it that way as long as possible. So it is just $10 a month. Club membership includes loads and loads of perks, including bonus content like hearing the end of this episode. So head on over to thepetphotographersclub.com to find out more.
Thanks for listening to the Pet Photographers Club. To subscribe to the podcast, check out other episodes, and keep up to date, head to thepetphotographersclub.com.